wanted to talk to you about my boss this morning. I'm his PA. I have worked here for more years than I'm going to tell you. He's a good boss. He is a good businessman. He's a really kind employer. And he's loyal to us, so people are really loyal to him. We had a medium-sized pharmaceutical company. We have a research and development arm, so we've got one drug that we developed that's on the PBS, which has been a good spinner for our country, for our community, and for our company. We are in a provincial city, and we're one of the biggest employers in town. Because of that, we have a scholarship program. So we have scholarships we give out to bright kids in the hope that they'll come back to our city and work for our company. We do our own recruiting ahead of time, looking at who's around and who has an understanding of what we do as a company. My boss is an ethical guy, and I discovered this in another way when we were looking at joining with another company. We got a long way into that process before we discovered that actually their business model is a bit suspect. If you want to maintain your integrity, your ethics, you've got to be really careful who you partner with. So we had to bail on that. And I probably shouldn't go into the detail or I'll get into trouble. My boss is a single father. His wife died about 14 years ago. So in addition to running our company, he's been responsible for rearing his daughters on his own. There are two of them. He's a great dad, really knows his girls, sees who they are, and treasures them for who they are, not trying to make them into something that they're not. They're very different, his daughters. The oldest one is a lot like him. She's really dependable. They're both capable, but she is really dependable and careful, pays great attention to detail. I'm guessing that the younger one is probably more like her mum. She's really creative. She's got that spark. But I get the sense that she's a bit restless, that she can see some possibilities and she would like to put legs on them to make them happen. Both the girls came to work for us after uni, and my boss was really excited for them to have a place in the business. It was a family business that he inherited from his dad. It was small and he grew it to be a bigger business. And now both the girls are in the business. And they each have quite different roles. There hasn't been a great succession plan. It's just happened gradually with a bit of negotiating with each of them. And things were going really well. So it came right out of the blue, right out of left field, when the youngest came to her dad and said she wanted out. Bit awkward in a family business, in a big business. She wanted her half of the business now. And that's easily said, but in a business like ours, how do you do it? It's much easier to sell a whole business as a going concern than to divide it down the middle. That is a really risky process. You can't just cut it down the middle. I was really surprised. I thought my boss would tell her, no, back off. But he didn't. He called in his advisors and really explored how this could be done, how they could divide the business into two and still leave it working. And he went ahead. He went ahead with splitting the business in half, with all the gamble that that entailed. It was pretty bad for our business, I have to say. Half our staff lost their jobs. Unfortunately, the crowd who bought us out took most of the manufacturing offshore. In a regional city like ours, those jobs aren't coming back. Lots and lots of people lost their jobs, and there was a knock-on effect in town. There were houses for sale everywhere. All of us had roles that were downgraded because instead of being part of a medium-sized business, we were part of a smaller business again. There were people where husband and wife worked here and everything was invested for them in this company. They lost their homes. The knock-on effect was awful, but she was oblivious to it. She got on a plane and she left town and left this incredible mess behind. I felt pretty sorry for her older sister. All the work landed in her lap. She had to deal with her surname being mud in town. She had to deal with the people who were being laid off. She had a lot of the conversations with people to tell them that their role was being downgraded. She's never worked harder, and all the while the business got smaller. I don't quite know what her father expected, but from a few things that he said, I think he expected that she would start up her own firm. She was creative, she was bright, she was capable, and she had the money to start up something extraordinary. Not many people have that kind of capital to start a business. But that's not what she did. We saw the photos of her living the high life, dressed in her beautiful clothes, cool sports car, and living the high life. A few months later, the photos changed. And she's well known, so there were still lots of photos, but they weren't very flattering. She was living vampire hours. She was obviously awake all night, probably asleep all day. There were photos of her drunk, draped over the arms of a different bloke every time, coming out of nightclubs. She looked sick. And you've got to wonder, was she using something else as well? Turns out she was. A few months later, she was in the paper again because the police had busted one of her parties. She was the money source for a really wild crowd, hosting all sorts of parties. So they were busted by the police, and she posted bail, not only for herself, but for all of her mates. It was a pretty sordid affair. And there were other stories about who she was hanging with, drug dealers, criminals. I guess it's easy to head down the chain. Her father was heartbroken. But if someone won't listen, they won't listen. And he'd let her make choices. Then one day, before we realised it, she was back. We didn't see her. But her father was looking. She was a mess. Some of her teeth were missing. Her hair was a mess. No blonde streaks there anymore. And her clothes were tatty. She had scars. She'd had the world at her feet. And she'd messed it up. She had made the most dreadful choices. She'd burned through all of that money. I heard her pretty speech when she came into the office. "Dad, I've messed up. I know it. I need some help. And I know I don't deserve it." I've sinned against you. I've sinned against heaven. But I'm desperate. I've got nothing left. I'll clean. I'll do anything you want. I'm in trouble. And he just responded in a completely different way. He yelled out to me, "Go and get us some clothes, some good ones. We're having a party. We're celebrating. She's back." It's like he couldn't see the mess she was in. Wasn't even interested in cleaning her up other than getting her some clothes that weren't ripped. "Call the caterers," he said. "Tell the staff we're stopping work at 4. We are having a party to celebrate. My daughter was lost and she's back. It's time to celebrate." Yeah, like we felt like celebrating her return? Really? After what she'd done to our company and us and our friends and our family, we felt like celebrating? But I'm staff. I did what I was told. So I was out organising the staff, organising the caterers, organising some very nice clothes when her big sister arrived back. She could see that no one was on track. Everybody was off task. She said, "What's going on? Where is everybody?" "This is what they pay me the big money for. Your big sister's come back. We're having a party in an hour to celebrate." Well, she scowled. She swore under her breath. She headed back out to the car park. She slammed the door on her car several times. She kicked the tyres a couple of times, and she swore rather loudly. We could all see it happening. And so could her dad. Confession time. I shouldn't have listened, but I did. He went out and said to her, "Your sister has come home. Won't you come? Won't you come and celebrate with us?" She yelled at him, "You want me to come and celebrate after all that she's done, after all that she's put us through? You want me to come and celebrate because she's finally stopped what she was doing?" The father smiled, a sad smile. "You know, Dad, all these years I've worked for you, you have never given me a party. You have never had a celebration for me. But she comes home after spending half the proceeds of this company on her friends and you want to give her a party. Her father stepped over and put his arm around her shoulder and said, "Yes, I'm celebrating. My daughter has come home. You are my beloved daughter. Everything that I have is yours. You are always with me. But your sister was lost, and now she's come back. Won't you celebrate with her? Won't you celebrate with me? She was lost, and now she's found." And that's my story.